First up this month, the discovery of the tomb of a Maya king in Guatemala. The pre-Columbian Maya civilization persisted in various forms from about 2000 BC all the way through to the Spanish conquest of the 16th and 17th centuries AD. Perhaps the most fascinating aspects of this 4th century tomb are the remains inside it. Not only do they include those of the king, but also six children. Their remains were placed in ceramic vessels and then burned, seemingly as a sacrifice for the recently departed king. But the tomb has revealed some other exciting details, such as jade and pyrite veneers on the king's teeth. To tell us more, Stephen Houston.
El Zotz is a moderately sized classic Maya city that's not too far from the much larger city of Tikal, Guatemala, which was one of the great dynastic centers of classic Maya civilization. It's in a zone that lies just to the west of Tikal and in an area that in fact is separated from the kingdom of Tikal by a wall system that's being investigated by other colleagues. So it's in what might be described as a kind of shatter zone, or you might say a zone of turbulence of a kingdom that's on the margins of a much more powerful polity. It also lies on an escarpment that overlooks a long valley by which much of the Western Maya world would have communicated directly with Tikal. So it has a strategic importance in the Maya world that, of course, drew our attention to the region.
And how does this relate to the tomb that you've just discovered?
We were investigating what seems to be the first palace. Most Maya cities cluster around or are focused on the creation and the provisioning of royal courts, much like, let's say, Hampton Court or Versailles. In fact, an argument has been made that Maya cities essentially are nothing but hypertrophied, basically Maya courts on steroids with ancillary support staff. And so we were interested in investigating this palace, and it had to its eastern side a pyramid that was so physically prominent that from its summit you can see Tikal in the distance. So it definitely cried out for investigation. The other very important salient fact about El Zotz is that it was heavily looted in the late 60s and early 70s. And in fact, quite a few magnificent Maya pots came out of this area, in addition to a very rare wooden lintel, which has now been returned from a museum in the United States to the National Museum in Guatemala City. Now, these looters had made it into, quite a ways into, this pyramid in the early palace of El Zotz. Incidentally, the cluster of this palace area is known as El Diablo, or the devil. But it's definitely part of the larger city of El Zotz. The looters had exposed just a jaw-dropping, awe-inspiring stucco polychrome facade. And so it seemed clear to us that one of our missions would be to dig further into this building so as to consolidate it and also to see what its stratigraphy might be and how it could relate to the overall invention, you might say, of a very abrupt creation of a kingdom here at El Zotz in the beginnings of the classic period. So this is the 2nd, 3rd century AD. And it was at that point that we, through a further tunneling with the aid of local experts who are accomplished this kind of work, we're able to get further into this building, and that's when we came close to this royal tomb and eventually penetrated into it.
And apart from its situation, what are the other giveaways that this is a royal tomb?
There is a pattern in this part of Guatemala in which tombs of any sort tend to be in prominent buildings on the eastern side of elevated platforms, and this happens to be just one of those buildings. So the likelihood was strong that there was something in there. The likelihood was also strong that the looters would have hit it in the 60s and 70s, and so it came as a happy surprise, in fact, to come across this tomb. Now, what's important in terms of our larger research program is that it appears possibly to be the tomb of a dynastic founder, and we know this because it's remarkably similar to a set of buildings uncovered at the city of Copan, with also very elaborate iconography and spectacular tombs that are right down on bedrock. This one has many of the same attributes. The great stuccoed building behind the tomb, very close to it and clearly connected to it in some way, is covered with meter to 2 meter high effigies of the Maya sun god, who's very closely associated with rulership. And they're also, on each one of these aspects of the sun god, were positioned glyphs that might refer to mythic antecedents of the dynasty. And so it just got more and more interesting. And when we found the tomb, the excavation exploded in a happy way for us. We were able to find things that we'd not really discovered before and excavate them with all the care we could under very difficult circumstances.
And what are the really sort of key exciting things that have come out of this, apart from it being, you know, quite a singular burial?
There are many things we can learn in terms of mortuary practices of Maya royalty in the first half of the first millennium AD. It seems that in this area there was a propensity to human sacrifice, and not just any humans, but apparently babies or infants. The babies do not appear to be related to one another because of patterns of dentition, and they seem generally in age to cluster around 1 year, or several represented only by skulls are probably about 4 to 5 years old. And so they're going into this tomb in a way at a time when they may not, in a sense, have achieved full personhood. They would probably not have been capable of speech or even of walking. And so that was extraordinary to find in a tomb. In addition to that, the pots in the tomb, which are truly of museum quality in aesthetic terms, also contain a great deal of iconographic information. Each one represents almost a tiny view of the cosmos. One shows a mythic howling monkey with its jaws wide open, and its tail has transformed itself into that of a centipede, and in its belly is the image of an acrobatic maze god. So the iconography is quite breathtaking and is also going to extend our understandings of Maya civilization. I would also note that what came as a great surprise to me was the presence of balls of basically cubes of precious imported pigment, which was remarkably uniform in height. And these appear to be literally a kind of trade ingot of a precious substance that's been heaped like so much gold in a Swiss bank vault into the corner of the tomb. And it's some of the first evidence we've ever seen of systems of measurement used by traders in the Maya lowlands. The tomb also had organics that are now being studied. There were many residues in the pot, which are also undergoing analysis. And ultimately, I think it's going to be through these further analyses that we discover more and more about the tomb. And to some extent, it may be still premature to tell you what it will eventually tell us.
If only the Tombs of Archaeology podcast presenters could be so elaborate. That was Stephen Houston, who's Professor of Anthropology at Brown University, and his work was authorised by the Guatemalan government, funded by the National Science Foundation and the National Endowment for Humanities in the US.